the importance of, having the right setup in terms of or the setup done properly for adjust and attribution, as well as the integration setup done properly as well with the partners and passing the right data. This is, by the way, one of the main topics that clients come to us and ask about, which is of course not the setup in adjust specifically only, but how as a tool, it's going to communicate with the different tools they use as part of their MarTech stack, as well as the integrations with the advertising partners to help pass the right data and optimize the campaigns there as well. So could you shed some light on this topic?
It's definitely super important. Again, like we can take just as an example or any tool, like the right setup, right integration. I mean, when I say right, the correct and accurate integration is the baseline for everything. Because if there is something wrong in the integration, then everything would be impacted later on. Either it's an analytics tool like Adjust or a different tool that you are sending emails, push notifications, or you are just collecting the user's data, doesn't matter by analytical perspective. That is the most crucial part, because if that baseline is wrong, then again, your reports will come wrong. You will maybe send messages to a wrong segment who you don't want to send the messages, or any first-party data you are collecting with the CDP, let's say, it also would have higher discrepancy than you expected. So this is definitely the most important part.
Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. Today, we're excited and honored to have our guest from Adjust, Yigit Atakan, join us to share his insights on the latest mobile measurement industry changes and the impact on attribution. So let's kick this off. Yigit, feel free to introduce yourself and Adjust.
Thank you, Ahmed. Thanks for having me, first of all. I am Yiğit. I am part of the Adjust Partnerships team last 2.5 year, I would say. I am chiming in from Dubai at the moment. What I do is, of course, I handle Adjust's technology and solution partners like eSense today in the scope of Middle East, Africa, Turkey, and Eastern Europe, basically. Adjust, possibly many viewers would know, it's a mobile measurement platform that we help basically app marketers to track their app campaigns, users, performance campaigns in a privacy-centric way and grow their apps performance and user base, of course. In a nutshell, we provide analytics services for mobile apps, I can say.
Perfect. It's great to have you here. Personally, I'd like to start off by mentioning that Yigit has been a dear friend for a while now, and I always enjoyed our conversations, and I hope you enjoy this session as much as I enjoy our usual conversations. So let's kick this off by first discussing the current state of mobile app measurement and attribution.
Sure. Yeah, I also, by the way, love our conversations for sure. We were together in Riyadh just before this recording. So thanks for your great friendship. So the current landscape, of course, it's changing and evolving, I would say, as a, let's say, highlights of the industry. Like overall, what I think the mobile app measurement and the attribution like evolved significantly in like last 2 3 years, and it is keep evolving as well. Of course, like the main aim for marketers, the tools like us, agencies, whatever you call yourself, playing in the marketing game, everybody wants to get more accurate, insightful, and actionable data to optimize their performance in an effective way. So still the aim is same, but of course the way we are reaching to our goals is a bit changing. And the landscape is of course continue to evolve. There is of course couple of reasons to that. We can say technological advancements, let's say lots of new tools, technologies, AI and the other stuff coming within the scope of AI is changing the industry. On the other side, users' behaviors are changing. We can deep dive on this more, but new platforms are arising, new devices are arising, which you can also monetize or try to bring users to your ecosystem by utilizing the new platforms. On top of it, privacy regulations was in our life, but now it's also there is some changes in that field as well in either nationwide or region-wide circumstances, let's say. So of course, like we talk about three, four pillars: users, legislations, and the technological advancements. So this require, of course, constant adaptation, innovation from providers like us, or even the people who are involved in this marketing, either again agencies, advertisers, need to keep upskilling themselves as well to adapt the changes. And on the feel free to chime in, by the way, but also on top of the attribution landscape, also the method of like doing the attribution doesn't matter in mobile app, in web, or even for different sort of campaigns, let's say the outdoor advertisement, programmatic advertisement, and so on. The approaches are also getting more variety. So more variables are in the play. So before, of course, still the same methodologies are applicable now, which are, let's say, deterministic matching, probabilistic matching, basically the last click attribution model. But on top of it, last 2 years, we are also talking a lot of multi-touch attribution, incrementality, data-driven attribution, which is basically brands are creating their own attribution logic and applying to their data sets. On top of it, cross-device attribution is getting important because there is like lots of new devices. Now I am not just talking about again web and app. Now there is also TVs, connected TVs, outdoors, banners, even the QR codes in the retail shops, brick and mortar shops, and etc. So you want to view this in a full picture as well. So these are the, I believe, the explaining the current landscape of the mobile attribution basically.
Yeah, it's good that we started out with this overview, because this variety and is what's introducing this complexity as well. We see this quite often with our clients at eSense when we're discussing their overall marketing strategy. Having this much innovation in the industry and this much changes as well in terms of the privacy-centric approaches. And the options and tools that could be leveraged for measurement and then utilization of that data is introducing a level of complexity that is impacting the process, the internal processes of the teams, the marketing teams, to meet their objectives. There's important steps for them to consider and take to achieve their growth objectives and goals. So maybe this is a good way to segue to the next topic, or dive further into specific challenges. Let's start with the privacy-centric marketing and the changes with iOS first.
Sure. By the way, to add your point, I guess what is also very important, we can come back to the iOS point in a second. Like there is no one size fits for all approach at the moment. So this is also possibly making your job, our jobs a bit, let's say, more complex and more challenging, but also at the same time more fruitful. Because for the same goal, now there is like maybe there is different paths to reach. Like there is 10 different paths you can take it, and you can end up by even getting more successful in your selected KPIs or goals. Maybe in the past it was a bit more, yeah, you have one or two route, which is like we had the information from the past. If I use one of them, yes, I would be successful. But now also, of course, brands are rightfully asking us, okay, like how should I track? What is the best methods, let's say, is used for e-com marketplaces, finance apps, or so on? It's like very tough to answer at the moment because like there is no right or wrong answer. You just need to test and find what is right for you.
Exactly.
Since you ask
And
for challenges,
actually,
it's a big challenge as well, I would say.
yeah, exactly. Just to add on that, there's no one size fits all. And then it's not just set up and leave it running. You need to iterate and test, and based on the results, just change the setup. So it's definitely, one of the main topics we have with our discussions with our accounts and, with our clients. So yeah, thank you for adding that. So iOS is still a big topic, although the changes were introduced more than a year and a half ago. But still, we can see challenges on understanding the history of the changes and where we're at currently. Could you please chime in on this topic specifically?
Sure. For iOS, we are talking, right? It's even maybe you felt like 1.5 years, but the exact, like the first SKAdNetwork and iOS changes introduced in 2018. Imagine. So already 4 years passed. But yeah, still lots of new things are coming. Nobody still, like some people still have lots of question marks around the topic. So it's like pretty normal. But yeah, like it's in our life in 4 years, basically. So yeah, from SKAdNetwork or iOS side, why I am keep saying SKAdNetwork for the audience who don't know, it's the Apple's own attribution framework with a privacy-centric approach, basically. This is again introduced on 2018, if I'm not mistaken, in March, with the iOS 14 release, which is the version of the operating system. So their main aim was simple. Like again, they wanted to provide the brands, marketeers, the data they need, but they want to change the way this is transferred to the advertiser and the ad network side by protecting users' privacy. This is of course tied with lots of GDPR or CCPA or similar legislations around the world. It's arise from this conversation basically. And of course Apple is owning the user privacy topic a lot, right? Even in their marketing materials, even when they are launching a new phone, you will always see new security features, which is one of them basically. On top of it, of course, what happened? So how this system works, before also let's discuss maybe before what happened before SKAdNetwork. By using the device identifiers, we would able to match the user and the source and their future in-app actions that they are taking. So this was the legacy model. Now, still you can do this, but in, again, Apple's guided way without, again, accessing the user-level data, which is the personal-level data. And this time, Apple is deciding the attribution, like the other intermediaries, like again, MMPs, like the ad networks, doesn't have any say on this, and then notifies the ad network or the advertiser with the technology itself. So it was a big change because before this, there was not such a big change in the industry. Of course, there were some changes due to the like normal, regular state of the life. But this was a big boom, and Apple didn't also give lots of heads up for all the parties involved to prepare their technology, execution, or like planning basically. So that's why it became as a challenge. But it's of course in every again operating system update they're also evolving SKAdNetwork network. So I like to say it's like a living organism. So now we are at scan 4.0 era, and now they already announced scan 5.0 as well. So it's like these changes are good for advertisers mostly, by the way. So it's still evolving. So it's kind of they are possibly accepting the initial versions like scan 1 and 2 was not convenient enough, and they are doing these changes. We are happy to see it's going to the right direction. But there's still more features will be added for sure in the next iterations.
Perfect. So when we say that this is one of the main, like one of the challenges, or let's say the industry changes that marketers and marketing teams should consider when they're setting their marketing strategies, why is this like challenging? How is it different than deterministic attribution? Let's start with scan three first, and maybe we can move to introduce scan four and the changes that came with that.
Sure. It's like super important. Like even maybe we can take even one step back, and for the overall marketing strategy, even I can ask you a question back because you are working with lots of tech tools and lots of customers to giving consultancy on their tech stack. Like in your like approximately how much different tools they are using in your case. Like can you give me a ball figure number, for example?
It's always there's no one answer because every client is definitely unique, but you could see five plus at a minimum five plus smart tech tools implemented as part of a stack. And then there's a lot of overlap between the metrics being measured and the capabilities and value propositions of each. So they need a lot of assistance to make sure that using the right tool for the right outcome. But yeah, it's always a lot.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because you said five. In a study I read, it was around, this is a global, possibly US-based study, a marketer use around overall seven tools. So it's very aligned, the numbers you said. On top of it, we are just talking about marketing tools. Possibly they are also not maybe daily basis, but they are also using some other tools. Maybe their product team is using, or their analytics BI teams are using it, data science teams are using it, and so on. So overall, there is like 7 to 10 tools in their daily life they are utilizing it. So how I will connect this, also why I ask you this question, I guess the clear, like very important thing is to having a integrated tech stack, which means okay, these tools should able to connect each other, and it should also ease the tech teams, developers, or who are involved to integrate these tools. It will make their life easier if they are connected, because then imagine you are connecting the same data source or tracking similar values, events, user behaviors from scratch. So you are just consuming lots of times to integrate these things. But at least if they're integrated, you can find also quick wins or easy connections that this can happen natively without involving such development efforts. So yeah, definitely I would say having an integrated stack is super important. From like tools perspective, like Adjust or any other marketing tool, that is also very important. They should have the integrations in place to ease their customers' life. Like I am sure also when you are, I'm like you are doing projects which involves couple of tools, maybe a customer data platform, maybe a engagement marketing solution, maybe a messaging solution, etc. Of course, I am sure you are also checking if we can connect these, how these tools can complement each other, and so on.
Definitely.
So super important in the current landscape, and like there's millions of tools, so it's also maybe confusing for again advertisers or customers to select what to use, and that's why possibly you are seeing overlaps.
Definitely. And we always look for that integration, basically from an adjust perspective or an MMP perspective. We always look to feed that attribution data into different tools and make sure that we're making the best out of it. And it's quite easy, using adjust. But just to circle back to the topic on scan 3 and the scan in general and the differences when in comparison to deterministic attribution, we see the like different setups for SKAd network. Although there's a lot of features that are offered and a lot of possibilities, we see that a specific setup might work for one account, another could make could be better for the other, because at the end of the day they're looking to assess their marketing efforts. They don't It's not necessary to use every feature out there, but as a main outcome, you're looking to assess your marketing efforts and understand which campaigns are performing, where to allocate your ad budgets, and how to do that effectively. So as a question, what would how would you like explain the main differences between deterministic attribution and the SKAd network attribution, starting with Scan3? What are the limitations there, and how Scan4 could change that?
Sure. So in that sense, as you said, now we are comparing the, let's say, legacy model deterministic, which is still in place by opt-in users, which I will elaborate, versus, let's say, Scan3, 4. This would be applicable for any scan campaigns, basically, what has changed. So what we lost basically in the in this transition phase, the real-time data, which was super important again for marketeers to assess their campaigns in real time, make immediate actions if something is going bad, for example. Okay, let me adjust my campaign and then try it again. Or when it's something good happen, you want to also see this immediately. If you are waiting for some time, then you are in the dark, and then you don't know what action you take, basically. So, which is a challenging time. So this is the, I would say, deterministic is always real time. Like I'm talking about maximum 5-10 minutes delay here. But with scan, there is like minimum 2 days delay. On top of it, you don't know exactly when this data would be available. So mostly 2 to 3 days it is coming with the scan 3 especially. But it's also, you don't know, is it coming after 1 day, 2 day, 3 day? There is no concrete answer. So this is always confusing, especially if you are coming from real time data background. So that was the key change. Of course, you are also adapting how you track your campaigns as well, because before, again, in the deterministic way of doing it, you can tie any user action with their campaign source. So this is again mainly from paid channels I am talking about. So again, in the old way, I did an install from channel X, let's say it's from Facebook, and then I can tie any transaction, any upper funnel events to this channel easily without any limitation, basically. But now, again, Apple is providing you two way of tracking. You can either, it's called like 6-bit and 63 bits approach, which I won't go very technical, but basically you have a set of schema that you can track. Okay, for 6-bit, you can track 6 events. And you want to track the seventh? Not possible. In 63-bit way of doing it, of course, you can track. But what is impacted here? Normally, 63-bit is enough, right? You don't have any way 63 events to track. That is very important and key for you. But think from the revenue perspective, revenue is also impacted now. So you cannot track the exact revenue coming from XYZ channel. You can only get an idea, approximation of this revenue. Basically, you are defining revenue brackets, and then basically Apple is telling you, okay, this user came from XYZ network. On top of it, their revenue is between $10 to $20. So is it 10? Is it 20? Is it 18? Is it $13? This number you cannot know, basically. So this is the also the biggest challenge to calculate ROI, return on ad spending, any revenue related analysis is impacted. So I would say these three things are the biggest change in compared to legacy model. On top of it, from also networks perspective, we should also think. Because what Apple did it again, to run a SKAdNetwork campaign as a network, you need to register to their system as a verified advertising channel. So of course, all the like big networks, values networks, having this registry already. But in total, there's like 150, 200 networks on TOPS, and in th there's thousands of ad networks globally. So this is also making their life harder because there's a big process. You need to apply. There's a manual registration process. I am not super informed about the selection criteria, but I am sure there is some privacy questions, proofs you can you need to submit to Apple side. So it also changed their way of working a lot as well.
Yeah, not to mention that the delay in receiving the postbacks has an impact on not only the marketing teams, but also the advertising partners for to optimize their campaigns accordingly and make sure they can, you know, produce an ROI for their clients as well. But yeah.
Exactly. To get the postback, you need to be registered, basically. And if you are not registered, you are just either relying on the probabilistic data, or basically you have no visibility.
Yeah, that's a good intro to the next question. Since you mentioned probabilistic, that's one of the features that Adjust offers to help with attribution. Maybe let's keep it general here. How is Adjust helping in terms of like features and capabilities with the overall industry changes, as well as specifically for iOS?
Sure. So probabilistic was a feature that was available for a long time. But after the, of course, presentation of the Scan2R Live, it's getting more and more, let's say, use cases. So still, yes, without the device and the identifiers, without the user level data, there is, by using some prediction algorithms, you can still do a matching, which is again not deterministic, not 100% true, but it's still in high accuracy. So this is like one feature that any Adjust customers can use by default anyway. So this makes their life pretty easy, especially if they are very iOS focused app. They have lots of customers in iOS. So this make their life and analysis easier, and then they can still get some real-time data, which is as they used to be. On top of it, what solutions we are developing and also the industry is developing. Of course, we talk about, okay, signals are less basically now. And all the networks, again, from optimization perspective, they have their own algorithms. How good you are enriching their algorithms, you will get the same outcome as a result. So if you push lots of data, you can also get the reward back. If you are feeding very few signals, then the campaigns won't perform in that expected high level, let's say. So to do this, of course, you need to create some fast assumptions using prediction. So this is our also recent feature. We just recently published. The official launch is in 2 weeks actually, but there is some customers are using already. So with predictions, we can by using the early scan signals, which we can capture from the Apple in a consented way, by comparing this with the past user behavior, we can predict some important KPIs like lifetime value, retention rate, which the most important KPIs for analyzing campaigns, midterm effect, let's say, which is correlated with your bottom line revenue and users' lifetime revenue. One is their retention performance, if they are active users or not, basically. And then you can, of course, use this in your optimizations if you are believing our predictions, of course. And then this is one thing. Incrementality will play an important role as well. This is not super tied with scan topic directly, but like the one of those main topics for the advertisers to solve. They are trying to understand the true essence, the true result of their campaign. They are not just now comparing network X and network Y, or just checking their campaign results and compare which is performing better. They are trying to understand the true value of a campaign or an advertising initiative in a bigger scope. So we are also now presenting incrementality testing as a feature of Adjust that, without basically involving data analysts, data scientists. You can run this test as a marketer who don't know, let's say, anything about technical data analysis. So this is also released at the moment, actually. In MWC, it is announced, this feature. So these are the important parts for scan. And of course, now we discussed again scan 3, scan 4. Previously, it was scan 1 and 2. Of course, we adapted our product based on these changes as well. So we added multiple new metrics that is tied with scan metrics, basically the tracking scan events, tracking scan installs, reinstalls, and so on. And there is some other also null convergence, etc., kind of scan specific metrics. And on top of it, of course, this is a complex topic, and customers need an easy configuration interface. So we call it Conversion Hub, which we also introduce. You can set up anything related, either scan 3, 4, doesn't matter, anything related to scan through our Conversion Hub. And then you can also use this setting in any ad channels you are using. So this was also a big investment from our side to make marketeers' life easier.
Yeah, I can tell from how much updates and feature releases were announced that there's a lot of work going into that. And from what I've seen from accounts that we've been working with, it's these are gonna definitely come in handy. Just further highlight, of course, we would want to be like one of the early testers for the new features announced. So we'll sync on that after the call. But for now, let's focus on scan 4. Maybe we can highlight for our audience the main changes introduced with scan 4 in comparison to scan 3.
Sure. Happy to provide some context there. So the biggest actually change is the with the postback. So let's talk about scan 3. You can only track the user in the initial maximum 48 hours, let's say. And after that, this user can do anything, and you are not getting any information back as a, again, app owner, as an ad network, doesn't matter. Nobody can track this user after the initial 2 days. But again, I want to underline this. We are talking about SKAd network users who are not opt-in to track, which is possible. iOS users will be understanding this easier. The app tracking pop-up when they are seeing when they launch an app first time in their lifetime, this will be asked. And if they say do not track, then this flow will be applicable. So on that side, this change with Scan 4, which was the most awaited feature for, again, agencies, for marketeers. So now you can track more than 2 days. They are rewarding you with two more callbacks. So in total, there is three callbacks. The first callback is exactly same, capturing the first 2 days. Then you can track up to 7 days, the user behavior. And then up to 35 days, again, you can track user behavior. The same constraints are still applicable here. Let's say the data again won't come in real time. You still need to wait some certain time based on your setup. At least you are deciding how long you will wait here. This is a good change as well. But again, the tracking about the revenue or tracking the data in real time, they are still the case in Scan 4. But again, to summarize, yes, we have multiple prospects here, which is easier to evaluate basically the in-app behavior long term and calculate the retention. This will help for this.
Definitely.
Yep.
With more data being shared, there's more insights to use to assess the marketing efforts, the campaigns, the effectiveness, and even the user experience. So yeah, that makes things easier. But to my knowledge, it's not all advertising partners have adopted Scan4. Is that still in progress, or could you share any insights on the adoption of Scan4 from the advertising partners' perspective?
Sure. So there's two pillars here actually to check on. One, the user's adoption of the new devices, because Scan4 only works in iOS 17 and above devices. Again, every scan change is tied with the operating system change. So with more users are going to Scan4 devices, which is the new iPhones basically. The penetration will increase, then networks will also adapt themselves. The penetration is, of course, every quarter, every year is increasing, and Scan3 will be faded out, let's say in 1 or 2 years. But at the moment, what we see is still majority of the users have the older devices, and the bigger portion of the data still come from the Scan3 side. That's why in the also Scan4 setup, you should do align with your Scan3 setup, because actually these two works in the same manner, same time it can work. But to not pollute your data, you should do the configuration similarly. So this is the first pillar. And from network side, actually all networks adapted it. Like when I say all the big ones, like Google, Facebook, TikTok, and Snapchat, they all have Scan4 support. And if I'm not mistaken, for Facebook and Google is sending Scan4 data. Same with TikTok and Snap, but you can choose it. Depends on your, again, user base. So they are adapted, but still they will go hand in hand for possibly within this year. When Scan3's portion will reduce, then we can say Scan4 is fully applicable from now on. But still, I would say the bigger portion comes from Scan3. But yeah, Scan4 is rapidly increasing with the device adoption.
Thanks for sharing that. That's some of it is news for me as well. So thanks for sharing. So, and this gives, is just demonstrates how much the pace of change in the industry, everything keeps changing. The adoption of these announced features are also roll out in sequence, and also Scan 5 was introduced or announced. So we know that this change is going to be continuous, and what marketing teams and brands need to consider is this continuous change and adoption and iteration on their current setup. So thanks for sharing. Additionally, one thing you mentioned before, there's a lot that you mentioned, there's a lot that we can dive deeper into. But one thing that stood out and was asked frequently by our clients is the difference between multi-touch attribution and incrementality in terms of at least the value out of it. Could you share more insights on that?
Sure. So these are part of the new, let's say, attribution frameworks, I would say. MMM or incrementality is not a new concept. MMM is there like from years back, I believe. I don't have the exact time. But now it's getting more and more popular because of the similar changes. Sorry for this. Mainly because of the, again, privacy regulations, and plus the advertisers need to see the full picture. Like they are looking for new set of calculation methods basically. So what I could say, these are complementary methods. Like I wouldn't say go for like use only incrementality, use MMM, or use just your plain attribution. These are complementary to each other. And then you can also think these in a time frame wise. So attribution is the instant result. So if you want to have a quick glimpse, a short understanding of your campaign, attribution data will work. If you are running a midterm analysis, incrementality will work for you. And if you want to see cross-device impact of the campaigns and in a longer time span, then MMM, the mixed media modeling, is your go-to approach. Again, as they are evaluating different things, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, you can use all of them in the same time as well. So there is no like problem you are using only one of them or three of them at the same time. It's just like set of you should set some rules how you can do these tests. Of course, you need to either have some in-house data analysts or you should get help from outside vendors to run these analysis for you, because these are again complex measurements. Like no tool can come and do analysis for you. From our side, yes, incrementality I mentioned, we just launched. This is possible for your app campaigns, at least for now. And from MMM, we are also working on some features that like, I cannot explain very further because they are still in the development phase and lots of changes are happening. But we are also releasing, hopefully within this year, a MMM solution, which is called Budget Planner. So this is like these three concepts are definitely will be in our life more and more from this point onward. Maybe I can elaborate on the incrementality a bit more. So what you are doing there actually, you are doing an assessment that impact of, you are doing a measurable impact of a marketing initiative basically. Based on the KPIs, you want to assess the incrementality. So it can be, okay, does this campaign really improve my revenue or improve my installs? Or there is a cannibalization from organic sources? Or there is an increment, but is it significant or no in an A-B testing jargon? So you can understand the significance of a campaign. On top of it, if it's cannibalized something which is free organic users. So this test will be, show you the result of the campaigns in a different way of analysis, basically. Yeah, and also maybe these are like a bit hypothetical and theoretical concepts, and there is like always formulas and like complex formulas behind it. But we have a like cookie baking example or analogy we are using, so I can share that. It's maybe it will be, make it much easier to understand. Maybe not a good example to share right now before iftar, but that's fine. So you want to cook like 5-6 cookies, let's say. So how you will find the right, like to bake the best cookie, how you will find out the recipe? So basically you cook one cookie. This is your baseline. You can just use, let's say you have a recipe, you just use this. And then to see the incrementality, you are in the second cookie, you need to change something. Either add more sugar, add less sugar, add more butter, etc. Or change the duration of the baking. Let's say you cooked it for 30 minutes, now cook it for 35 minutes. Then, of course, you will understand which is better. And then you can, of course, continue this test. Or if you are satisfied with your second cookie, you can take this and do the same method to bake the other cookies. But for incrementality, then you are also again change the time and everything at the same time. And on top of it, imagine you are also, you have two ovens and you are cooking with different techniques. So then how you will compare their performance, you need to find some constant variables to fix that, and then you can assess, okay, which cookies tasting better, and then you will stick to that oven basically. So this is like some analogy from cookie baking.
Perfect one. And you always have consistently good cookies moving forward. But that's as good as the data leading into it. And this gets us to the next question on the importance of, you know, having the right setup in terms of or the setup done properly for adjust and attribution, as well as the integration setup done properly as well with the partners and passing the right data. This is, by the way, one of the main topics that clients come to us and ask about, which is of course not the setup in adjust specifically only, but how as a tool, it's going to communicate with the different tools they use as part of their MarTech stack, as well as the integrations with the advertising partners to help pass the right data and optimize the campaigns there as well. So could you shed some light on this topic?
It's definitely super important. Again, like we can take it just as an example or any tool, like the right setup, right integration. I mean, when I say right, the correct and accurate integration is the baseline for everything. Because if there is something wrong in the integration, then everything would be impacted later on. Either it's an analytics tool like Adjust or a different tool that you are sending emails, push notifications, or you are just collecting the user's data, doesn't matter by analytical perspective. That is the most crucial part, because if that baseline is wrong, then again, your reports will come wrong. You will maybe send messages to a wrong segment who you don't want to send the messages, or any first party data you are collecting with a CDP, let's say, it also would have higher discrepancy than you expected. So this is definitely the most important part. And of course, like we talk with lots of partners, customers, either these are like super enterprise customers or like growth stage companies. And we see that if the integration is not done properly initially, then we can have much more support tickets, issues, understand knowledge transfer issues, etc., arising from just from a wrong integration. Especially, of course, for analytics tool, it's much more maybe important in terms of multiplier, let's say, because then you want to read the reports accurately, and something is collected wrong from the integration, then again, all the data, all the investment you are doing, you can have a analysis that can be misleading. So definitely super, super crucial.
Yeah, and we always appreciate the support of the Adjust team, by the way. We always need their help to help our clients, you know, with not only this piece of the puzzle, but the overall stack. So, and we always get that help. So if you can pass the thanks to the team, we'd appreciate that. And we're getting to the end of our episode. We can definitely go for hours here, or maybe even schedule another one. But I'll leave the floor and the choice of the last topic to discuss to you. Is there any specific change or challenge from all what you've mentioned that you would like to focus on in the last 5 minutes?
Okay, good question. Like, maybe I can give you two options. Either we can talk about like future of measurement, or again, similar changes Android and Google is planning, similar to SKAD network, which is, anyway, you possibly know it, the privacy sandbox. So we can talk.
It's your call, Yigit. Just whatever you feel like discussing, we can always have another session as well. I know both are interesting for our audience, so feel free to move forward with what you prefer.
Sure, sure. Then let's maybe discuss about the future a bit. Then for privacy sandbox, we can use as a in our second session. So in the future of predictions and everything will be in our life that I mentioned. But like what will be shaping the future of the measurement? Let's say again, like I want to take our conversations to the initial part, and then there would be lots of technical innovations are coming on top of what is happening at the moment. Possibly in very soon we will see an advertisement in Apple Vision Pro, for example, and people will want to track this. So this is just an example that's applicable for today even. Regulatory developments will continue rapidly, like from EU, US, now countries like Saudi Arabia, Turkey, India, like possibly I am forgetting some countries. They are also developing some privacy changes, countries specifically. So this will also change things for regional or local brands a lot. So we need to also build our systems that is aligned with the regulations. On top of it, the shifts will continue in the consumer behavior. For example, we can talk about devices or platforms. Like 4 or 5 years back, we didn't have a platform. We think that will fight with, let's say, Facebook and Instagram. Now there is like TikTok. User-wise, they have amazing numbers. Advertisement spend-wise, they are really competitive, let's say, in compare with the industry giants. And then we never know, maybe a new TikTok, new Snapchat will arise as well. So these are definitely interesting topics or platforms to keep an eye on. New devices will come in our life. Like there is like Internet of Things topic is seems a bit undermined after the AI topic, but still there is lots of changes happening. Like you can from your phone, you can just navigate your fridge, and then your fridge can order a food, for example, now. Or like this is just a simple example. We will live in a very connected world. Now, of course, with AR and VR, again, Vision Pro we discussed. There is also other alternative devices on top of it. I am sure there would be like apart from the connected TVs, etc., there is new inventories for marketeers. So let's see how we can utilize this, integrate in our media planning, and then there would be, I am sure, creative ways to utilize them. And then, of course, from the attribution or analytics piece, we will definitely adapt deep learning and artificial intelligence more, either in the analysis, in predictions, or in the attribution modeling. This will shape basically how marketeers analyze their data and attributes to user behaviors. And this, their accuracy will improve also in time. We are still in very early stages, but the algorithms will be enhanced, and it would be enabling us with more accurate predictions, more user intent analysis, and more precise attribution of conversions. And eventually these will lead in higher campaign optimization and ROI. Possibly also this can end up with the cost of let's say installs, actions, clicks can be a bit higher because of this technological advancements as well. This is, I am just speculating. I don't have any data, but this is how I feel.
Definitely, the only constant here is change, and exciting times are coming with more opportunity, but also with more challenges. So I want to thank you, Yigit, for sharing all of these insights. It's always great to have you here, and I look forward to hopefully having another session with you. I just want to mention to our audience as well that we're going to leave a link in the show notes. If you have any questions regarding what we've discussed, feel free to share with us. And once again, thank you, Geet.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me once again. Like it's always a pleasure to partner with eSense, and looking forward to new horizons together.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.